And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
When I do shows in the studio, the microphone's always running so people don't get nervous, because people are like, when are we going to start? When are we going to start? And I always have to say, we already did start. when I do it this way, then like you see the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 thing, but you don't appear too nervous, so that's good.
I'm not too nervous. I don't think you can trip me up on Porch Fest.
Who said I'm sticking to Porch Fest? Tell me about your high school prom. No, just kidding.
I wore the ugliest dress to my senior prom. I hated it so much.
Did you really?
But my mother loved it, and so I wore it. And it had little blue flowers on it, and so my boyfriend got a light blue tux, which was, you know, pretty courant at the time. It was so bad. So don't ask me about that.
Where'd you grow up?
St. Pete, Florida. I went to high school in St. Pete, Florida.
Oh, you did? Okay. So how'd you get up to Rhinebeck?
Oh, it's a very long story. I went to high school in St. Pete, and then I went to Florida State in Tallahassee because I was interested in politics, and that's in the state capital. And then I decided politics wasn't for me, so I moved to Atlanta wanting a business career. I worked there for a little while, and I lived there for 10 years. Then I moved to Chicago and I lived there for 10 years. And then I moved to New York and I lived there for like 23 years. And then I moved up here.
Where in the city did you live?
I lived in the Village and I lived in Chelsea. Yeah. Yeah.
I lived on 86 in Central Park West for like 3 years. And I don't know if you remember, but they had like a Dave Matthews played Central Park. And
yeah.
We were 86 in Central Park West, so I was like...
Right there.
I'm still high from... Because we had like we had a patio, like the size of the chair you're sitting in right now, but it was a patio. So we sat outside, and you could literally see the smoke coming up the trees.
Oh, I bet. I bet.
It was
that is so... That's such a good memory. We went to a lot of music. My husband is a huge music fan, and I have a terrible memory of, like, I know what I like. I know the artist that I like, which is a pretty long list, but he can listen to something in like 2 notes and know the musician and the year and the album. And, you know,
I don't have that gift either, actually. So, what kind of music do you like?
I like a wide variety. Like, I like classical music but I like classic rock, and I love singer-songwriters. I'm a huge Norah Jones fan, and I love Americana. So, Nikki Lane and Marsha Ball, and I love New Orleans music. So lots of different kinds.
Okay. I will reveal something here for the first time. I don't like classic rock. What's wrong with me?
You don't?
No.
What do you like?
Singer songwriter. I don't like anything plugged in. I like everything acoustic. So I like classical. I like classical. I like singer songwriter. I like acoustic guitars plugged in a little bit, but
What was your first album?
Okay, this runs against what I just said. Frampton Comes Alive.
Yeah, just a little.
Oh, wait, no, that's the first album I took. I had an entire Partridge Family collection, but I don't think that counts, does it?
Well, yeah, if that was the first thing you bought with your own money. Mine plays into your story, which was Simon and Garfunkel.
Okay,
was my first, and Tapestry was my second. So I'm like, that's my sweet spot.
Tapestry is top 10 album of all time.
Yeah. It's just every single song and her voice. And I seldom I think the only things I've ever seen multiple times on Broadway were The Lion King, because I had kids come to visit, and that play Beautiful, which was the story of Carole King. And I just kept saying, well, if you haven't seen it, I'll go with you. And people are like, okay, you know.
Do you know the story of Tapestry, about how it was made?
Well, maybe.
She went to one label, and they said, don't make it. We don't like your voice.
Oh.
So she went to another label. I don't know the names of the labels, but she goes to another label. And, you know, this was when you used to wait for a letter or a phone call.
Right, yeah.
Back. So she goes to James Taylor and shows him the first letter that she got saying, don't make, we don't like the voice. She goes, but I'm going to make a label up. I went to Columbia. And he said, he had a studio. He had already rented studio space. He said, get in the studio and do it right now before they tell you no, so that you have it. So she recorded that in like a limit, like 4 or 5 days, went without a contract because she was afraid everybody was going to tell her no because nobody liked her voice.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that wild?
That is wild. And I mean, you know, I have seen them perform together a couple times. Mm-hmm. It's magical. I saw them perform at Madison Square Garden on a rotating stage with her on the piano and him on a bench. Oh,
that's not true. So that's not true.
So good.
Cool. Okay. Who's your favorite acoustic guitar player of all time? Not counting me, obviously.
You know, that was exactly what I was going to say.
I knew you were going there, and I
wanted to act like I was really thinking about it and considering others, and then carefully weighed you. For
Thank
sure.
You very much.
There
You're
you go.
You're pulling that out of here, and that's my pull quote.
That's the end of our interview.
There you go. Who do you like?
You know, I'm not even sure. I mean, like James Taylor comes to mind. I love James Taylor. And I've seen James Taylor at Bethel Woods, and so intimate. And I love heavy love Kenny Loggins on an acoustic guitar doing House at Pooh Corner. Like, I love his voice.
Very underrated guitar player, too, by the way.
Oh, he is. He's so good. And you know that story of House at Pooh Corner? So he had a high school girlfriend whose father was an executive, I want to say at Disney, and they owned the rights. And so when he wrote that song, he played it for his girlfriend and her parents. And the father said, you can't do that without permission. And so he said, let me work on that. He was 17 when he wrote that song.
No kidding.
And the father, you know, got him. They were like, oh, sure. What the heck? Who's ever going to hear that song?
Right.
And that's how he launched that song.
That's hilarious. Nobody's going to hear that song. Go ahead, kid.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
How'd you get into Porch Fest, then?
So we've lived in Rhinebeck for about 5 years. We moved up here. We were building a house and we moved up here. It was going to be a weekend house, but we moved up here during the pandemic and just moved in. And
good call.
Yeah, really good call. And I was going to get another job and I was like, yeah, I'll do without. But let's just live up here because it's so fantastic. So we went to Porch Fest the first year, which was 2022, right after, you know, the first one after the pandemic. And we had just a great time. And we heard the Roadhouse Roosters was the first act we heard. And they were just so great. And they were at Rugi's and they had the hay bale set up. And it was just so fun. And so my husband was in the process of forming a band. And so he said, next year, I'm going to have a band there. So the next year they had a band and it was such a fun event. And then I heard they weren't going to do it again. And a friend of mine knew Liz Mazzarella, who's the one that started it and brought it, as you know, to Rhinebeck. And so a friend introduced me to her. And so I helped her with 23 and 24. And then she stepped away this year. And so a fellow named Rick Nuzzo and I are doing it with Angela Lohr, who's doing the food. And I've got somebody, there's a new website. I don't know if you've gone to the website, but on the Porch Fest website now, you can go to John Burton and click and your music will come up. So people can go to any musician and, oh, let's see what this person is. And let's see where we're going to go at 2:00. And they click in. So Roger Braun did a great job on the website. And then Scott Mallon did the flyer. So I have a really, really small committee and people are just kind of doing their specialty. But Rick and I kind of are in charge.
What's the website address?
RBK like Rhinebeck, rbkporchfest.com.
I love Angela Lore, past understanding. We went to
school. How do you know her? Together. Oh, you
yeah.
did?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I grew up in Rhinebeck.
Okay.
And we went to school together, and I was going to buy a house up there, and she was up there, and she's an attorney. And she said, I'll do it. And I'm like, well, no, I got to pay you. And she's like, I'm not taking money from you. But it wound up, but to her other clients, you get charged.
Yeah, you got to be careful. You might have to edit that out.
Yeah, right.
I really love Angela. You'll edit that out.
But we wound up not working out. But we're in Westchester right now, but we're moving to Dutchess. I don't know if we're going to get all the way up to Rhinebeck because my studio's in Wappingers, but...
Yeah, that's a bit of a hike.
Yeah. But it's 45 minutes from here, but it's every day that's like an hour and a half every day commute, which is why I stopped working in the city so I wouldn't have to commute an hour and a half a day. And here I am.
Here you are.
First off, what does your husband have a band?
Yes, he does. What's Catawampus. Catawampus.
How come they're not on the show?
They are. Oh, on this show.
My show.
You know what? He. I mentioned to him that Damien's drummer is the same as my husband's Richard's band's drummer.
Yep.
And I said, hey, Damien reached out to John Burton, but I think they're coming on Tuesday, right? And we're away.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, but he doesn't have to come on for Porkfest. He can just come on and... I talk to bands all the time. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll tell them that. Yeah. Bands, they play at the Rhine Cellar quite a lot. They play up at a brewery in Hudson called Union Street Brewery, which is great. They play sometimes at, the Hole in the Wall bar that's always packed in Hopewell Junction, Hopewell Bar, something like that.
Oh, cool.
I should know their name. Hopewell Inn, the Hopewell Inn.
There you go. Okay. Well done.
Yeah. And they play on the other side of the river at RP Red Maple RMV Rape Red Maple Vineyards Hudson House. So they kind of all the guys in the band live in a little bit different spot, so they can get different different venues to play.
Right. Where do they rehearse?
They rehearse at the drummer's house. Isn't that where every band rehearses?
Yeah. That's why I'm not in a band. I'm like, bands are so complicated to organize too.
They are so complicated. I was in the shower this afternoon and, usually shower time is sacred and my husband comes bare. I can hear him like kind of talking to me while I'm in the shower. You know, have no idea what he's saying. And he's like, are we free on September 20th? And I'm, what? You know, I'm like, why? And he's like, we might have a gig.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Well, so it's exciting.
Did Liz tell you the horrible mistake I made with her husband that last year?
No.
So I do this thing called Lifted Project, right? And Lifted Project is kind of like a We Are the World for the Hudson Valley. And I drag a bunch of musicians in and they have to sing. They have to sing a song that I wrote, but you don't get to rehearse it. And so the audience gets to see us suck and then gets to see us get better as we go on. And this last year we did it at Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck. And so I said, and Liz was on the show and her daughter was on the show. And I'm like, you guys should come be in the choir. And her husband plays guitar. And yeah. I'm like, he should play in, I did like a guitar symphony. So I'm like, he should play in the guitar symphony. We have four nonprofit partners a year, right? So like Lifted Project takes no money, but the nonprofit partners get to sell. We divide the seats up into four parts and they get to sell their own tickets. They get to fundraise at the event and they get to do a presentation. And, our concentrations are on like suicide prevention, mental health, cancer, and housing, typically. So,
all very good causes.
Thank you. Her husband looks exactly like a guy. So we're in like the Center for Performing Arts in Rhinebeck. It's sold out. We're like 100.
How do I not know about this?
No, you don't know about the Lifted Project?
No.
Oh.
I mean, I knew about that what you were doing, but I don't know about this event.
Oh, yeah. So we do it once a year. Dutchess County sponsoring it actually this year. So we're in a sold out theater. One of our nonprofit partners deals with teenage suicide, and there's a guy named John Irizarry who has been on. He was on the show once, and Liz's husband looks exactly like him. But it's the kind of thing where, like, you know, we play a song, I talk, people from the audience get up and tell stories, everybody's crying. It's like a big weepy. So I go to her husband. And so Johnny Rosari's daughter took her life like 8 years ago, and he wrote an album for her, and he goes and he talks about it all the time. I go and pull Liz's husband up, thinking he's John Irizarry. I introduce him as John Irizarry. And I talk about how he made an album for his daughter who took her life as John Irizarry. And he stood through the whole, and he was smart enough not to correct me. So, can you believe that?
What did he do at the end?
Nothing. He was great. Like, everybody applauded him, and he's like, thank you.
He is so good. He's a great, great guy, and really good guitar player too.
Very good guitar player. Yeah. So Porch Fest benefits what?
We raise money to cover the cost of the event because it's free to all the attendees.
Right.
Except Bobby, you have to pay for your food at the food trucks. But the money goes to the Tommy Thompson Sally Mazzarella Park. And so if you're from Rhinebeck, you know the fantastic amenities that park has. Most notably, Porch Fest, from Liz's inception, built the soccer field that's there. And so these funds go to maintain the soccer field, and we need some bleachers. And so hopefully some money will also go toward the bleachers this year.
Fantastic. I'm so fed up politically, and you were going to get into you were going to get into politics. I'm so fed up politically that I'm kind of like really into Porch Fest this year more than I even was last year, because I'm like, I don't want to do anything that's not local people not doing stuff for local people anymore, because once it gets any bigger than that, it gets polluted almost.
You are so right, and I mean, I just want, you know, I have a lot of friends that go to the marches in Kingston, and I don't love crowds so much anymore. I never really did love crowds all that much, except for football games. But I want to be able to do something. And I write to Schumer quite a lot, but you know, like, I know that it's doing nothing, and it's very frustrating. So I think you're right. Focusing on what we can do for our local communities is such a great way. And this is, I mean, we have so much talent in the Hudson Valley with musicians that it's crazy. And so, one of my husband's band members decided to leave the band. And so he was looking for a bass player, and he had a lot of people apply to be the bass player. Like, it was pretty exciting. We were really bummed about the guy that left, but you know, worked out okay. And it's just, there's a lot of depth. It's hard to find drummers. It's really hard to find keyboard players. But they're still so good. And Richard's band has an excellent keyboard player, singer.
You know the name?
His name is Mike Leary. Leary.
Yeah.
You know Mike?
I do.
The lyricist.
Well done. I explore this all the time. Why the Hudson Valley? Like, so I grew up there, right? I graduated in 1981. Don't take out pen and paper. I graduated in 1981.
Well, I graduated way before that, so don't worry.
Okay. Really? Look at you. You look great.
Thank you.
So I graduated with easily, and you know, my class size was like 65. I graduated with easily six people who, had they chosen to be professional musicians, could have made a living at it. I always wonder why it is that the Hudson Valley is so, like, so musically concentrated.
Do you have any answers? Yeah. Well, I always attribute it to our adjacency to Woodstock that's. It's kind of old,
about that anymore? That's what
I. And it wasn't even true, so you know, it really doesn't count anymore. I mean, I still am shocked that there's so many people that don't realize it wasn't in Woodstock.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's good when I have company that don't know, because then I can tell them that story.
It is. And it's a good story. No, but like, I know people say that. And then I'm like, well, first off, to your point, it's not true. And second off, I don't move and get good at a guitar so that I can be close to a field where somebody played like 40 years ago.
Well, that's fair.
Yeah. So I have one theory, or I have one. I think, like, as you move out, like, well, you lived in the city. As you move out from the city, I think community becomes more important.
Right. You that's know, true.
You, in an urban area, you're lost. Nobody cares. Whatever. But the farther you move up, the bigger community, the bigger the importance of community, like Porchfest becomes.
Agreed.
And so, but you need an activity to gather around, and we don't build campfires anymore. So on a large scale,
right?
Nor should we. So no, my thought is that like you just kind of you inherently feel like, okay, community is important. I want to do something that will draw people into a space like Porchfest or even playing the Ryan Cellar. And so I concentrate just inherently, instead of spending 3 hours on a tennis court or a basketball court or coding, I spend 3 hours on a guitar, knowing intuitively that that's going to build a community. That's the only thing I can think of. And that's thin, but it's the only thing I can think of.
Hmm. It is interesting. And maybe, I think a lot, I really don't know. It's just really amazing though. My husband went to a camp out in, on the other side of the river, Indian, you know what I'm talking about? Indian something. And it's about an hour from here. And it's this beautiful rustic venue, and they have workshops every summer from various famous musicians put on. And he went the first 2 years. And then when he came home after the second year, he said, like, everybody brings their wife. And I'm like, I don't even know which end of the guitar you play on. Like, I am so not musical. And he said, it doesn't matter. And I went. And the year I went, Joan Osborne was there. And I mean, some workshops were technical, but most of them were just storytelling. Right. And so Cindy Cashdollar was there, who I have a huge girl crush on. And Joan Osborne did this workshop on songwriting, and she talked about how she built a song. And I would have paid just to go see her and to hear that. I mean, it was fantastic.
Wow.
And there were some other people there who also had no music, whatever, but they went to high school with Jim Weider and some of the other guys. Maybe they went, I don't know if they went to high school with Brian Mitchell, but their high school was all of these really amazing musicians in somewhere on the other side of the river. I don't mean it like that, but I don't know the names of the towns. Right. Maybe near Hurley, somewhere near Hurley. A little further west. Further west.
Do you listen to your husband? Does your husband write music?
He does. He doesn't perform it very much. He writes more acoustic songs, and he'll do them in a like a open mic thing.
Open mic. Do you listen to him?
Of course.
Of course.
Oh no, I have missed like three times. And I'm gonna miss this one on the 20th he just asked me about, but I go to every single one I can.
But do you listen to him practice and play, and does he play a song for you? And
sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I listen, like, you know, he has a music room and keeps the door closed. And I have a big office space studio-ish thing, and I don't hear him all the time, but if I'm upstairs, I start dancing when I'm folding laundry.
You do?
Yeah.
Would you ever, this purely hypothetical, would you ever, let me just pull something out of thin air. Would you ever, if your husband was sitting on a stool in his studio, practicing, maybe writing a song, an acoustic, would you ever, I don't know, walk in there with a loud vacuum and go under his feet while he was playing?
Never in a million years.
That happened to me six times in my house.
So, I will say that occasionally I am vacuuming when he's playing, and I'll say, time out. I need to get in here. And he's happy for me to come in because it gets a little dusty. So, but
and,
I would never.
He doesn't have to vacuum.
Yeah. I mean, I would never like just come on in. I, you know, ever. And I generally try to vacuum when he's not home. So, you know.
Fair enough. So Porch Fest is next Saturday.
Yes, it is.
It starts. Go ahead.
Starts at 11. Sorry, I was going to say, and the weather report looks way better than today. God, I hope they're right. They're so seldom right.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that there's a little sun on my phone. It starts at 11. There are between 5 and 8 acts during every 50 minutes. And so we have, you know, 11 to 11:50, 12 to 12:50, et cetera, until 5. There's a group of musicians from 5 to 5:50. And then Brass Kill is playing at 44 Chestnut. And they'll come to the corner and lead everybody to the fairgrounds. And we have a band called Bills to Pay Band.
Sure,
and they've been voted best of the Hudson by the Chronogram readers, and they're a fun dance band, and they'll play all these fun stuff to dance to. And so it's very family oriented. It'll be really fun. And that, and then my husband's playing at, Catawampus is playing at the Rhine Cellar that night, post Porch Fest party. Yeah.
Oh man, you're going to be geared up. That's a long day for you.
Yeah, it is kind of a long day. But last year I was like, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And I was like the last one dancing last year. So I was so happy it was over and it went well, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I'm playing. I almost emailed you yesterday. I think I'm playing at 44 Chestnut at 11. You don't have to look it up. I'll figure it out.
You are playing at 44 Chestnut at Kim Noble's house. That's
there we go.
Exactly,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. She bought me a very nice email. So
she's lovely.
She's yeah. So the premise is there's 4 or 5 acts. The town is basically, you can walk the streets. There's food trucks. There's go.
I mean, it's music from 11 till 7 all day, all kinds of music. We've got some bands that do, you know, like, world music. We've got acoustic. We've got classic rock. We have a couple punk bands. We have quite a bit of great Americana, Grandpa Joe's wash band. We have Grandpa Joe's wash band.
Is that
band.
Your ringtone? That's fantastic.
Do you know what it is?
Is it Jump Around?
No, it's the Florida State fight song.
Oh my God. Well done.
I'm a little geeky about my university. I don't know what I was saying.
Americana.
Oh, different bands. Lots of singer-songwriters. Kathy Young, just some really great singer-songwriters are playing. And Dirty May. And the Tom Pretty's, unfortunately, aren't playing, but Karen Tobias, who is from the Tom Pretty's, and her husband are singing. So really a super great lineup of musicians.
Kathy Young and I went to high school together.
Wow. And so you know what? I did know that Kathy Young went to high school with Angela. So now that all makes sense. Is this at Rhinebeck High School?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And she's gifted. She's good.
You know, I can't listen to everybody's music, but, you know, I try. And when Angela told me that, I went back and listened, and she's excellent. I mean, she's really talented.
She's a great songwriter, too.
Mm.
Yeah. And then Dirty May, I know I had them on the they were on the show.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Dirty May was on the show. Not for Porch Fest, but they had an album out a while ago. So they came.
Yeah.
So they came on the show. I know them. And then you have Carrie Zaz this year.
Yeah, I'm excited about them. And we had to work some timing out, but they're playing. And the Warp, the Weft are playing. They're great. Local Jam. Do you know Rick Nuzzo and his band?
Sure.
His daughters are great musicians. They have beautiful voices. They're always a big hit. Finding Alice is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I got to take my glasses off so I can read. Faith and Forgotten Souls. Faith is great, which I think, and it's such a great name.
Yeah, it is a great name.
Yeah, yeah. So lots of, I'm forgetting, I mean, there's a lot, there's 43 bands. So a great singer-songwriter named Chris Jackson, he's terrific.
And I don't know him. How come I don't know him?
So we went to check out Red Maple Winery, RVM Brewery or something over across the river before Richard's band was playing, and he was the singer-songwriter playing, and I at the break I hooked him in, and it was great because it was the day before the applications closed, and went home and sent him an application, and he applied before midnight, so he was really great. And he's got a very nice voice, and he does a lot of songs. He does James Taylor. He does those kind of soulful singer-songwriter songs.
Wait, he does James Taylor?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, he does because, yeah.
I'm the only person in Hudson Valley allowed to do James Taylor, so now we have a contact problem.
Well, the good news for you is that he's playing at 5.
Oh, all right. All right, good. Then I'll hang around.
And he's playing on Livingston, and you're playing on Chestnut, so you know, there's
covered.
Enough.
Then we're covered.
I'll tell him he better be careful.
Yeah, just don't be too good at it.
He was in Ulster County. I found him in Ulster County, so okay. Maybe he didn't get the memo.
Fair enough. Are you already signed on for next year?
I am not.
are you thinking about it, or it's so much work?
Yeah. I don't know that I will do it again next year.
Mm.
I don't know that you want to put that in your podcast, though. Although maybe there's somebody who would be interested in charge of it. Because I don't know what the future is, because I've had a lot of trouble getting volunteers, and so I haven't done as much PR as I like because I'm, you know, trying to keep up with some of the other stuff. The other band I didn't mention is Hammerheads, which is Liz's band.
There you go.
And they're fantastic. So that's another band. I knew there was some band I needed to make sure I mentioned.
If it rains, we just suck it up, correct?
Just suck it up.
It's almost more fun if it rains.
Well, it rained
for me,
not last year.
Under a porch.
Yeah. Well, not everybody has a porch, but I've asked each of the bands, you know, in my little newsletter to please be prepared if it's raining. There's some musicians with the equipment, it just doesn't make sense, but most of it can work out. It rained 2 years ago, and I would say 75% of the acts went on. And by the afternoon, it wasn't a pretty day or anything, but by the end of the afternoon, I'd say we had 2,000 people show up and walk around. And there was great music, but it was a little kind of a bummer.
Philanthropy's hard, right?
It is hard.
Man, it's amazing like how challenging it is to try to do something good.
It's fun. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
So philanthropy is something that is super important to me. In my involvement at Florida State, I have a pet project that I am trying to create a center for philanthropic education because it's a career. You know, there are fundraisers, and obviously I was listening to what you did. There's so many creative ways to raise money, but it's also a profession. People do this for a living. And I think that this generation of students that I've seen, they are very mission driven. And there is also going to be a very large influx of generational wealth. So they have mission and they're going to have money. And so there's going to, and the government is going to spend less and less, even before the current administration, there was less money being appropriated to philanthropic causes. And so I believe that there is a big opportunity. There's very few public universities that have a curriculum in this. Like there's maybe in the Department of Education and the College of Education, maybe there's something about grant writing, or in fine arts, something about fine arts, not-for-profit management. But there's nothing that's quite holistic, with the exception of maybe two public universities. The University of Indiana is the gold standard. But I am working to have this center at Florida State, and it's kind of going to be my next 10-year project. But I've been talking about it for 10 years because we're always looking for fundraisers for the university.
Right.
And lots of universities are looking for fundraisers. And it's I think of anything you could raise money for, it's pretty cool to raise money for a university because you really are creating a legacy. But regardless, whether you're raising money for the American Cancer Society or your neighborhood or the Rotary so that you have money to give back to the community, it's going to be a job that is going to continue to grow. And it has, I might help you, but you need that person-to-person contact. So I am a huge believer in the importance of philanthropy and how we continue to talk about how much, how important it is to give back, whether it's to a charity or to a community or to a university. So,
But you're 1,000% spot on. I think grant writing is going to disappear because the idea of pinpointing the cause and applying human resource against it, that's something AI can't do.
Right.
Playing the guitar in front of people, podcasting, and philanthropy might be the only three jobs left. And what do you think? Do you think universal basic income? What do you think is coming?
What's coming?
Universal basic income, like, because AI is going to take everything.
I don't think it's going to take everything. No, it'll take a lot, but it will still need people to make things. You still need people to make things run and to create ideas. So I think we will become much more idea generators.
Yes,
and less about. I mean, I think, you know, for the next 20, 25 years, there's going to be a lot of need for people in supply chain because you've got to integrate how to get an item from point A to point B or C. And AI will be able to help, but people have to be able to integrate systems on a massive level. And so, and that's just one example. I think that there will be a transition. Every time there has been a major technology change in the world, whether it's horses to cars or
industrial revolution,
there's talk of there will be no more jobs. But what happens is it creates new jobs that we haven't even thought of yet. And so I'd like to think that is what's going to happen. We just need to be sure we're training students to be prepared for that. Right. And by the way, you know, I think that we're starting to see it, but the importance of trade schools and, you know, we don't have enough plumbers. We don't have enough electricians. And as people can live anywhere now because of more hybrid and remote jobs, people are living in places like Rhinebeck and it's hard to get somebody to repair your washing machine. So I do think there's going to be jobs, and I think it will create a big shift, and we'll look back and say this was one of those. It is right now one of those moments, especially as this generative AI continues to accelerate.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I just like when you start factoring in drones and robots, and like, did you see a video of that Japanese factory that doesn't have a single person in it?
No,
there's a manufacturing plant. In China, operates 24 hours, not a single person in it, and including nobody recharging the robot. It's crazy.
It knows to go to its charging station.
Yeah,
I think it's very interesting, and you know, I spent a lot of time in my career in the luxury space, and I don't know what's going to happen to that because. In the beauty space, dupes are such a big thing, and luxury is the very high end of luxury, the ultra luxury, like an LVMH is doing well. But some of the brands that are caught in the middle are losing customers to less premium price points.
Sure.
So there's a lot of shifts that are happening as quality accelerates and a lot of disruptors come into all these marketplaces. So it's going to be an interesting time, and I'm glad I'm not 21 looking for my first job.
You have kids?
I don't. But I for the last 5 years, I've been an adjunct professor.
Oh, wonderful.
And so, yeah. And it was great. I just finished my last semester. I did it for 5 years, and that was a good run. The kids are really smart and creative. And they're scared. You know, they don't really, they are worried, like, what am I going to do?
Rightfully so, they're scared. And, and you made the right call not having kids. I have a daughter. She went. No. She went to college. I'm devastated. She went to college this year.
Oh, wow.
I'm destroyed. Do you want to see how off the charts it is with me and my daughter? Which is why you made the right choice. So I don't know if you can see this. See that white thing?
Yes.
That's called a Bond Touch bracelet. If I do this, it vibrates. She's wearing one. She feels it.
Oh.
Look how off the charts the heartbreak is around here. So you spared yourself. Good call.
Where'd she go to school?
Coastal Carolina.
Ah.
Yeah, because why bother going anywhere less than 12 hours away from your dad? Why?
I don't think she did that for you.
She did not do it for me. And she's thriving there, which is like makes it even worse. She's better. Yeah. Well, depending upon right. To everybody but me, it's a good idea. And
so, how did she find that's an unusual choice for someone from this area? Like, that's not a school that I think of when I recommend colleges to people all the time, and that's not a school I know very much about.
They're expanding like crazy. They were extraordinarily generous financially.
Uh-huh.
And extraordinarily generous financially.
They wanted her.
Yeah.
They wanted her.
Yeah. And so it was like, it was easily 50% a financial decision, just that, you know, that.
But
that,
she found her tribe. She's doing, which as she just, I mean, she's only been there like 2 weeks.
3 weeks. This is week three today. Yeah. And I haven't hung myself and I'm proud of that. But no, she's crushing it. She's at a football game right now. Yeah,
they've had some really good success in football.
Yes, no, they and you know, we went to the campus is gorgeous. I don't know why somebody threw some money at it, because there was a bunch of construction that was just finishing, and they're on Myrtle Beach. Like every day after class, I'm like, "What are you doing?" She goes, "I'm going to go to the beach for an hour and a half." And
that's not a bad gig for college. I mean, my students have a lot of bikini shots on their Instagram, despite my discouraging them to do so.
Well, bikini shots in the Hudson Valley?
No, in Tallahassee. I taught online.
Teach virtually. Okay.
I taught virtually, and then we have an international, we have three international campuses, and I taught in London, in Florence, and this past summer in Valencia. So those were in-person classes. That was a good gig.
Yeah, that's a nice. Are you done teaching?
Yes. 5 years I thought was a good run. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work and it's fraught. So yeah, no.
It wasn't so fraught, but it was a lot. So the theme here is Porch Fest is a lot of work. Teaching was a lot of work. I'm trying not to have a lot of work. That's the theme of today.
So when you come on the show again, we're just gonna talk about what you're doing when your feet are up and
yeah. Well, I'm going to work on my philanthropy thing. That's a lot of work, but I'm looking forward to that.
That's a great project, man. That really is, because I think you're kind of in a sweet spot, because if I'm right and most jobs are disappearing or altered to the point where they aren't full time anymore,
right?
You know, we're going to be left with two things: we're either going to make things or we're going to help things. And developing that skill set, I think you're in a sweet spot, man.
I hope so. I have good support from the administration, so they think so too. So yeah. That's exciting.
What do I do? Do I buy tickets to Porch Fest? Do I just show up? What do I do?
You just show up. It's free. I don't know how you're going to edit this whole story so that it has any theme of Porch Fest, but yes,
probably not. But people will read the blurb and they'll get it there.
Okay, free. Lots of bands. Great food trucks. Great music. 11 to 7 with a finale band that is a lot of fun to dance to, and just enjoy the day and your neighbors and your community. And everybody brings their dogs and their kids and they bike there. So it's a fun day.
And then show up at Ryan Cellar to support your husband.
And then show up at Ryan Cellar to support my husband. That's a very good plan.
Fair enough. I'm very happy that you still have a roof over your head.
Yes. And it's actually stopped raining since we started talking, so I can go to town. And I realized I missed a couple places that I need to get flyers in. And so I'm going to run into town and do that.
All right, beautiful. So
September 13th, next Saturday.
Okay. All right, and I'll try to get this up tomorrow so there's enough lead time for it.
Thank you very much.
No, my pleasure. You're fun to talk to. You should come back on just to talk.
It's been great getting to talk to you.
Oh,
and now I will. Are you going to hang around? Because I'll highlight all the singer songwriters for you.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, I am going to hang around. So yeah, that would be wonderful.
All right.
Great. All right. Thank you. Right. Say the website one more time, please.
rbkporchfest.com.
Beautiful. I'm going to hang up on you, but don't hang up because it needs like 10 seconds to finish uploading.
Okay.
I'm hanging up on you, but I'm not. But we can talk.
I do want to know when your next event is for your charities.
So Dutchess County, it's called liftedproject.org is the website. Okay. By the way, if you're interested in philanthropy, we'd love to have you. The county just agreed 2 days ago, Dutchess County is going to sponsor it. We think we're going to be at the Chance. It's not signed off on yet. But
at where?
The Chance in Poughkeepsie.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's a theater.
Big theater.
It's a Sunday in April every year.
Okay.
And I'll make sure you know about it so you can come. Okay. It's a crazy event. The first year we did it, we sold out the Hudson Valley Airport, and got in a little bit of trouble.
That's always good. If you don't get in trouble, you haven't pushed the limits enough. Yeah.
But it's a crazy event because it's you know, I don't let the musicians rehearse. So to the point of Porch Fest too. Like from the show, I know like a lot of musicians, right? I said, okay, most musicians I can handle the first year is 38. I invited 38 musicians within an hour. 38 musicians said yes. I'm like, you know, you're not going to be able to practice. They're like, yeah. I'm like, you know, it could suck. They go, yeah. I go, you know, it's a song I'm writing. And you may or may not have heard songs I've written. They're all like, yeah, let's just do some good. It was amazing. So, yeah.
Well, you should definitely talk to my husband in that.
Yeah, but please. Get him on the show. You have my email now.
Yeah, I'll connect you to him.
Beautiful. All right. But for now, Porch Fest, what's the date? Saturday.
13th. Saturday, September 13th.
13th. Beautiful, beautiful. And I'll get this up tomorrow and I'll email you when it's up.
All right. Thank you. Thank you.